Welcome back to the Fire You Carry podcast. In today's episode, join us as we discuss things as wide-ranging as pronouns. Yes, those pronouns. Being brutally honest with people. Why I personally don't train jiu-jitsu, but I think you should. And we talk about the things that you will miss when you are a firefighter or a first responder, what you should think about that, and what you should do about it. Thank you for listening. Enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Tip of the Spear Psychotherapy. This is our buddy, Dr. Mike DeSena. He has been on the podcast twice. He is a certified clinician, and he has his own practice that I have personally gone to, and I found it to be immensely helpful in my own personal life and in my journey. Dr. Mike is an incredible dude. He is a combat veteran, so I think he does know the first responder angle, and he's very knowledgeable at what he does and gets to the root of the problem really quick. So Dr. Mike and his team of Tip of the Spear Psychotherapy have been fantastic, and we want you, if that is something that you're interested in, because we talk about therapy being beneficial as for marriage and for personal reasons, we definitely think you should look him up, schedule an appointment, and get into it. It's into the storm. Nobody wants to do this stuff, but it's always the best. Go into the storm and start handling the stuff, and I think you will be better for it. So we'll put links into the show notes for all the contact information on how to get a hold of Dr. Mike and his team, and also links to his episodes if you're interested in listening to that.
We also want to give a huge shout out to FNA Credit Union. They have been really huge supporters of the Fire Up program, and they have been donating money specifically to help us cover the cost of feeding the guys up there. They are our biggest supporter by far, and we just want to give them a shout out. We deeply appreciate their support. If you're in the firefighter community and you need any kind of financial services, even if you don't need financial services, they are worth checking out, because in a lot of areas, they have better rates and better products than probably where you're at now. So links to check them out will be in the show notes. And we just want to say thank you again to FNA Credit Union.
FNA is incredible. I'm just going to say, I used to be in the banking world before I was a fireman. If you go to Chase Bank, Bank of America, any of those, you are just a number on the wall. I think the biggest advantage of using a credit union is the personal touch. Susan Mariotti and her team, they have four or five people that you can call personally, and we'll put links to that with their contact information, that if you had any information on a loan, if you want to get a bro-dozer, or if you just want to have help looking at your financial future and saying, how are we going to make this work? They're fantastic. And that's the difference between a credit union and any other bank. So we highly suggest you check them out. And thank you to the FNA team for supporting our mission. It's been incredible what you guys have done. Welcome back to The Fire You Carry. We are your hosts. I'm Kevin Welsh.
I am Noel Lilly.
And today I have the man flu. Man flu is real.
What? Yeah. You're sick?
Yeah, the whole house is sick, and it is funny. You ever seen those memes online where it's like the man flu? It's like everyone else is like, it's all attention on the man.
It's devastating, dude.
Yeah, man flu is real. It is funny because the kids, they're going through it. They missed a couple days at school, but they're sick and they're still going. And then Harmony's been sick and she just, you know, powers through. And I'm like, don't touch me. I'm on the couch. The man flu. So I'm fighting through man flu, if you can hear that.
Yeah, dude. The women of the world, they have to endure whatever they get. I don't know, woman flu, perhaps. And they have to still take care of the kids and take care of the house and all those things. But I just, you know, as a man, you just know they don't get sick like we do. It doesn't hit them as hard. It's just science. And God made it that way so that they could survive and continue to take care of us and the kids. But when we get sick, it's devastating. It is. I mean, if you've never experienced it because you're not a man, I'm sorry, but it's real.
It's real, man. Please, real. I'm not saying nothing. Maybe I am saying this, but she does get about 9 or 10 hours of sleep because she has the gift where she can fall asleep, my wife, within 14 seconds of saying goodnight. Mm. And that's a gift. I don't have that gift. I know you have that kind of gift. Maybe that's from the Army.
Yes.
But me, it's like an hour of like winding down and breathing. And even then I'll still like no TV, no blue lights in the room. The room's cold and I still can't sleep. So I do think that was it. I was at work for like 48 hours of no sleep and I came home with man flu. But it is, I don't know if you've ever been sick at work. It is not a fun thing. So I'm trying to get well today because I go to work for 3 days and one of them's a recall in the middle at 20. So I'm anticipating a minimal sleep for 3 days. So we'll see how the man flu goes.
Godspeed. Godspeed.
We're talking about this because we have a program. We have class 7 is coming up next weekend. And if anybody, the fill day is coming up, and if anybody is getting their days off, we have some open spots because of cancellations. Staffing is an issue for firefighters. And so we do have some open spots. But at the program, we do jiu-jitsu because we have the Dave Tebow, who is such a high-level black belt in jiu-jitsu, and he does this introductory jiu-jitsu thing, which has been awesome. And guys go up there, and it's in a non-competitive format. We get to learn how to be a little bit more dangerous. And he goes into lengthy explanations of what it's done for him in his personal life. And I think there's a lot of value there. It's one of those things, though, that Noel and I are so foreign. It's so foreign to me. And then, obviously, we're running the program. And I have learned quite a bit from Mike Kenobi and Jason Teeter, who also lower belts but are practicing jiu-jitsu. And I learn something every time. But you had a thought, and I wanted to see if we can get into that, about jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, when you get exposed to these guys that are really into jiu-jitsu, you start to feel like it's something that you should do. And if you're a man that listens to podcasts or pays attention to anything out there in the world, you know that some of the best dudes in the world today are currently involved in training jiu-jitsu. And so it's a thing where you start to kind of feel like everybody does it and it's got all these myriad of benefits. So I found myself in a position, not a lot, but a couple of times where guys will ask me, why don't you train? And it happens at the program because at the program, there's guys training. And depending on the amount of guys, I either participate or I don't. If I do participate, I'm clearly a novice. I know nothing. I did, just to be totally clear, I did train jiu-jitsu when I was in the military, but I got out of the military in 2005. So I don't remember any of it, but I had that exposure to it. And then I haven't done it since. So I've been thinking about why I don't train jiu-jitsu. It's something we've talked about on this podcast. I advocate for it. I think it's great, but I don't do it and I'm not going to start. And so I kind of thought it might be fun to talk about why, from my perspective, I don't train jiu-jitsu, but I think you probably should.
Well, here's a tough thing because I do have this in the back of my head because we've had Dean Rivero on the show, who is a great fire captain who's retired, and he didn't start until he was later in life. Our own Mike Kenobi, who we've had on the show, who runs the program with us as a captain, he didn't start till later in life.
Yep.
And there's multiple guys that start at 45, 50 years old. So I do have this thing in the back of my head that one day when life slows down a little bit and I can carve out an hour a day, I'm going to get into it. But for me, my injuries have been so substantial the last few years. I don't. So why don't you do it at 40 years old?
Primary reason is time and family commitments and where I live. So I don't want to go deep into that, but I live far away from any gym and you know our work schedule. So it would be very difficult time-wise to do it. Not impossible, but it would be a huge commitment. So that's probably the primary reason right now. Secondary to that, though, is just the fact that on a daily basis, I carry a gun. I have my concealed carry permit and I carry a gun. So while a skill like jiu-jitsu and going hand to hand with somebody and fighting is incredibly valuable and might be something that you have to use as a man at some point in your life, I'm in a weird position where if I had a situation where something was going wrong or whatever, I'm actually not going to go hands-on with somebody because I have a weapon. As soon as you go hand-to-hand with someone, if you have a weapon on your body and something goes wrong, the weapon falls out, they get a hold of it, whatever. It's just a position that you don't want to put yourself in. So my goal, if I get into some sort of altercation with somebody that wants to go hands-on, is going to be to defuse the situation and get out of there. I'm not going to fight a guy physically, you know, with my hands, because there's too much potential for something going wrong there. And what I am not saying, I didn't say this and don't hear me say it. I'm not saying that the gun is my answer to every problem on the streets. That's incorrect. The gun is a last resort. I don't ever want to pull that thing out. My primary method of responding to that sort of thing is diffusing the situation and extricating myself from it. Hopefully just extricating myself from it, but if I can diffuse it, great. So while I'm not saying that jiu-jitsu isn't valuable to me, I am saying that with my current mode of how I operate on a daily basis, it's less valuable than it might be to somebody else. Now, are there times and places where I don't have a gun on? Yeah, every day I'm at work, I'm obviously not wearing a gun. So it would be useful and valuable in the context of the days when I'm at work. But that's kind of my primary thing.
It makes sense. There. Yeah, that makes sense. There are guys, though, like our buddy Tim Kennedy, who we've had on the show,
yeah,
who's like world class in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he has his own school and stuff like that, and he trains, but obviously, that's what he knows and that's what he does. And I don't know, what is he, like one of the most dangerous men in the world? Also, he has 1 million rounds of ammo in his house, right?
Allegedly.
Right. And we've been with him at lunch, and he obviously has the fanny pack with a gun in it too.
Yes.
Right. So yeah, that's interesting, because I think the first point is your location and our schedule.
Yeah.
So Dave Tebow, I'm going to steal from him, but he always says that if you're going to do jiu-jitsu, you have to find a location close to your house. If it takes half an hour to get to a gym, you're never going to go.
Right.
You're never going to go. And so I think that's probably the biggest hurdle. I don't have that excuse. I have like a phenomenal gym that I've been to that I started training with like less than a mile from my house. But every time I've tried to go recently, it hurts so bad because of the neck injury. And so it's actually very humbling for me to not train jiu-jitsu, because I really want to. I really want to. And it's almost like it is a goal of mine to get healthy enough to go in there and train. But I'm nervous to try to do it because of the neck injury. But that actually kind of makes sense to me. I think it's wise, because if you said, I don't train jiu-jitsu because I have a gun, well, we've talked about this, dude. Like, your life is over if you use that gun in a situation.
Right. Right.
Like, you're probably going to get arrested or go to court, especially where we live. I don't know. You know the rules better than the law.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems like that would absolutely have to be the last resort, because our whole livelihood would be on the line if you did use it in self-defense.
Yeah, it's not something I want to do. Years ago, I had a ranger buddy that came out. He's from Georgia, and he's an instructor in SOCP, or the Special Operations Combatives Program. So he's one of the instructors that teaches special operations guys their combatives program. And their combatives program has a lot of jiu-jitsu in it, but it also has a lot of other stuff. And so I went through his 4-day course when he was out here, and it was brutal and super fun, and I learned a ton. A lot of what they do is they incorporate weapon retention stuff into being on the ground or being standing up and fighting with somebody.
Yeah.
So it's more, and I know law enforcement guys do that all the time too, where they train how to keep their guns safe and protected if they are in a physical altercation.
That was the Krav Maga thing that you were doing?
It was at a Krav Maga school, yeah.
Ah,
but okay. It actually wasn't Krav Maga training.
Got it.
This
it was
guy
more tactical.
Does,
yeah.
Yeah. It's SOCP, so it's its own thing. This guy does train Krav Maga. He's one of those guys too. But that was super valuable, being in a situation where you have a blue gun on, so you have a fake plastic gun on, and you're in a fight with somebody, and your whole goal is to keep that weapon out of that guy's hands because he knows you have it and he's trying to get it. So that kind of stuff would be super valuable. I have no idea where to find that. And again, we're back to the excuse of distance. Where would I have to drive to go do something like that? So long term, it's something that I do hope to get into someday, because apart from being more dangerous as a man and being able to better physically protect myself and my loved ones, we know because I believe my buddies, and I've experienced it a little bit myself, that there are all kinds of other benefits to training jiu-jitsu specifically. Mental benefits, obviously health benefits. It's a crazy good workout. And there's a lot of great camaraderie that goes on there. Like, there's just a lot of other ancillary benefits to it that I would love to take advantage of. I'm just not in a place in my life right now where I am.
Yeah, I think, didn't we talk about this? I think there are some law enforcement agencies across the country that are giving bonuses based on your level of rank in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me, because
that's legit.
At some point in your career, or if you work in the LA area multiple times in your career, you're going to get into a tussle. And like, you better know what to do in that tussle. And I think the point of jiu-jitsu is that it's always been the smaller person could be able to use leverage and locks and chokes to manhandle the other person. That's the reason why Hoist Gracie, who started the UFC, the Gracie family actually chose him because he was the smallest one out of the family. Mm-hmm. And they chose him to go over like these monsters in the UFC because they wanted to prove the point that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was the martial art. And so I think, you know, if you were a female or smaller and you're in law enforcement, doesn't have to be a female, but just in law enforcement, I think it's probably a must, right? Even, and they have a gun on them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
But I'm thinking to myself, what I do see is I see the quiet confidence of somebody who is high level in jiu-jitsu. I think of Tebow and I think of Tim Kennedy. They have a confidence that I would not have because they are in fights all the time in training. Right? Or I don't know how do you explain that? I do see something a little different of those guys where they know without a shadow of doubt that if something happened, they could handle themselves in a situation.
Yeah. And the fun thing about that, and I've even heard Tebow say this, that almost guarantees that you're never going to get into a fight.
Right?
Because the other guy can also detect that. Like, you know, the quote unquote bad guy who's out there sneaking around looking for somebody to victimize, he's not going to victimize the guy who's walking around with his shoulders back and his head up, who is confident. He's just not going to do it because he knows it's not worth the fight. So it is fascinating that the more you train in that kind of stuff, the less likely it is that it's going to happen. But that's good. That's not a bad thing. We shouldn't walk around wanting to get in fights, right? That's not the answer.
No. But that was always a thing. I did have a past that I'm not proud of, but when I was running the streets of Long Beach, I got in multiple street fights. And it was the super loudmouth drunk guy who was screaming at the world that he was going to beat everybody up. He was the first guy to get knocked out.
Yeah, goes down.
He's the first dude. It's that quiet, confident dude that's not saying anything. That's the one you had to worry about. That's the guy. You know, and I think that obviously that jiu-jitsu has morphed into MMA, where most of the guys that are training jiu-jitsu are also training striking. They're also training Muay Thai. They're also training wrestling. And that I'm pretty sure that those guys know how to handle themselves. Like, the UFC has changed everything. So, yeah, I see a lot of, and then I've watched our own friends who train consistently. And like they said, it's that physical outlet. They're not worried about the bills or the stress. When somebody's trying to choke you out, you cannot be stressed about anything else. That's, you're totally present. And I've trained myself, and I do think that it's almost meditative when you're in there. You're learning something new. Your brain is firing off. You know, you're trying not to get choked out. You're trying to learn. And I wasn't worried about marriage or finances or work or whatever. So I think there's total value there for sure too. And then I enjoy it when we go up, but yeah, at 44, I think it's a habit thing too. Like, I haven't put in the time like Tebow has at 20 years old and developed that over time where everything seems so hard. And like, I'm so sore and so, I hurt so bad every time I try it that, man, I'd have to get super healthy and maybe do some Evan Hallquist training before I even come close to going back into there.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's change gears here.
All right, all right.
Have you ever listen to, or are you aware of, the AFI record titled Answer That and Stay Fashionable?
Yes. I was listening to AFI the other day, but it was more of the, like, what's that summer song? Listen to what I say.
Oh, is that on?
Well, I'll pull it up. But
Miss
yes,
Murder.
I know. Yes, Miss Murder. That's the song. I was just listening to that this morning.
What's that record?
Miss Murder is.
It's not Black Sails in the Sunset. That's way too old.
December Underground.
December Underground. Black Sails in the Sunset is a song, not an album.
Yes.
Anyway, I don't actually want to talk about AFI. I want to talk about the title of that record. I love AFI. I'll say that up front. I love those guys. But I was listening to them in the car and that record came on, and that album title has always kind of grabbed me. And I started thinking about it. Answer That and Stay Fashionable. And I thought, there's a lot of things in my life that if I were to be asked a direct question about something, a current event or a cultural thing, I'm not going to be able to answer that question in a way that, if I'm honest, appeases current society or quote unquote the world. And so I kind of see that as, it's almost like a challenge. Like, what do you do in a situation where you get asked a question and you know your answer is unpopular? Now, I think you should be truthful. You got to be tactical. You got to be kind about it. You don't want to just try to bury the person, but you could go the other way. You could try to answer it and quote unquote stay fashionable, right? I'm going to give you a hypothetical scenario, and I'm not going to give you my answer to this, but it's something that as a dad, I was forced to think about the other day for the first time. So I thought it would be valuable for you other dads out there to also think about this. My son was talking about hanging out with some new friends, and
He's 17,
and his sister was there, and she goes, yeah, we met so-and-so, and they asked North what his pronouns were. And I was sitting on the couch doing something, and I was like, well, I suddenly became interested. Really? And my first question was, well, North, what did you say? And he's like, I said, what? And I said, okay. And they asked again, and he said, I don't know. And it got kind of weird and like awkward. And then they kind of went on and talked about something else. And I realized that I'm aware of this pronoun debate, right? It's going on around us in the world. There are people that I interact with at work or otherwise that have their pronouns listed in their, you know, their sign off at the end of an email or whatever. Like, I see it. We hear it talked about. But I've never talked about it with my kids. I've never been put in that situation where I've been asked. And I'd never talked to my son about it. So he didn't have an answer because while he was somewhat aware that that was a debate, it wasn't something that we'd thought about or that I'd ever, you know, as dad, given him my thoughts about. And basically at his age, I feel like that conversation would be appropriate to have in the sense that here's what I think about it, son. Here's how I would handle that. Here's some other options. And, you know, you decide, you're 17 type of thing, but this is what your dad and mom believe. But it was a conversation we hadn't had. So he got put in a situation where he doesn't know. And our family has values. We have beliefs, but there are areas where maybe I haven't shared those. And some of that stuff, I feel like I've run into other situations where I assume that things are understood because I have a strong belief on something, but I've never really vocalized it. And so it's not.
That happens all the time.
Right? Yeah. And so we have to be careful about that as dads. And not that you need to go around just talking about, you know, every cultural wind that's blowing. But when it comes to things like drug use, sex, pornography, anything like that, if we don't talk to our kids about that, they don't know how we feel or what we think about that stuff. And that's a challenge to me as much as it is to any of you guys. But that incident kind of made me think about that as a dad. And well, my kids are quite a bit older. I got to be on top of that stuff.
Well, let me ask you this. This is a whole different generation. That wasn't obviously a thing for us at 17.
No.
And I don't think it actually will be for us from here on out, just in the world that we live in, right?
Probably not.
In the circles we run in, I don't think it will be, right? But for his generation and his 17-year-old self, is that something that he has to determine? Is like, because you and I would be like, what? I don't subscribe to that. I don't have a, you know, my name's Noel. My name's Kevin. You know what I mean? Like, but him, that's probably going to be on, if he goes in any job or he has to use email, that'll probably be on every tagline for any corporate job. Is that something that he has to determine? And you just say, I never have to deal with that, but you will? Or is that something that you think you have to guide.
Yeah, he will definitely have to deal with it. I've talked to other people and parents that have applied for a job or their kids signing up for college or whatever, and it is required in a lot of places for you to put that on your application. And you know, that's probably less, in my estimation, and I don't have a full grasp on this issue, but in my estimation, that's probably less important than if you get asked that in a group of friends or potential friends, how you answer that. Because on an application, I mean, you could literally put America, F yeah, as your pronouns, right?
And good luck with that one. Yeah.
Well, you're probably not going to get the job. So maybe that's not a good idea, but you could put anything and, you know, whatever. You don't have to subscribe to it. If you have to do it to fill out the application, then you got to do it. You know, if you want the job, maybe you should go look for another job, or maybe not. Maybe that's the job you want and the job you need. And so you go get it and you do what you got to do. But yeah, in the personal context, I think it is, unless something changes dramatically and swings the other way, I think that is something that is going to be required of our kids
for sure
to deal with. And, you know, to a lot of people, that's not going to be a big deal. You know,
well, let's go back to answer the question and stay fashionable.
Yeah. Like,
obviously, that's fashionable in certain circles in the younger generation. But I've always felt like it depends. If you answer the question truthfully, it depends, right? Because if you have somebody close to you that say, do I look fat in this dress?
Right.
You have to take a tactical pause and answer the question. But is it truthful to say, like, I mean, I just think that you have to take a tactical pause and think about your answer. Most of the troubles I get into is because I vocalize my first thought. Like, my first thought is probably an emotional response right? But if I'm able to, like, grab that in a marriage setting or something and say, take a deep breath, you're way better at this. I'm like more of a verbal vomiter. But but I think, like, yeah, you got to answer questions, but I don't know. I don't want to answer a question that will hurt the other person. I don't want to, like, hurt their feelings. But if they ask me, like, I honestly want you to tell me without hurting my feelings, what do you think? Well, then obviously I'll answer the question, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think I understand what you're getting at. It wouldn't be appropriate. And this is something that I actually did pass on to my son. It's not an appropriate situation to drop a bomb on that person and to try to make them feel foolish or stupid or whatever for asking or for having a belief in something like that. It is an appropriate place if you want to be honest to go, you know, oh man, I actually have never really thought about that before. You know, tell me more about what you mean. Like, you know, buy yourself some time, find a way out. Don't answer the question type of thing. The do I look fat in this question is such a classic, dude, because that's, it's just, there's no right answer, right? I mean,
nope.
I can't even discuss it on the podcast without getting in trouble.
I said, do you like it? She said, yes. Then I think it's fantastic.
Dude, it's hilarious. My thing that I try to, that I will commonly say, and I've never been asked that question verbatim, just to be fair, but similar questions. And my answer is usually something along the lines of, I actually think you look fantastic, but it seems to me like you're not comfortable in that outfit. So maybe you should wear something less comfortable. And that's true. Like, I've never been in a situation where that was a lie, but usually I kind of feel like really what you're getting at is you don't like what's going on.
Right.
And so
that's wise, because my wife will come to me and I haven't gotten really the fat in the dress thing either, but she'll say, do you like these shoes? If we're going to a wedding or something. Right. And I'll just say, well, the event, we're going to be on our feet for the majority of the afternoon and evening, and then we're going to be dancing and stuff like that. Are they comfortable? And are you, cause you know what happens? I know we've been together for 20 years. An hour in, she's complaining that her shoes hurt. And then she doesn't want to take them off and she doesn't want to dance barefoot. And I'm like, you should have wore the other flats. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But then you're miserable.
Right. So I just say, well, do you have another option that's comfortable? Cause we're going to be on our feet most of the afternoon.
And then here's how I handle the shoe question. We're talking about wife stuff now. We've really transitioned.
Yeah. Sorry, wives.
I'll get a selection of two shoes, two different color shoes, similar types. Just say, which one of these looks better? initially I would always say, man, I have no idea. What you, I don't know. But that's not, she doesn't want that. That's not helpful. So I just pick. And I just pick randomly. I'm just like, that one. 99.9% of the time, I'm wrong. And it's actually the other one that looks better. And that's what gets worn out. But at least I'm like on the spot with an answer. I'm like, that one's better. I like that one.
Well, I love it. I do get this. So we obviously have mentored quite a few up and coming first responders, right? And I get, I've at least five times, I've had somebody that are doing all the right things on paper. Mm-hmm. They're going back to get their AA and fire science degree. They become an EMT. They have maybe a fire academy. They're doing all this stuff and they're starting to do oral interviews and we're starting to do the oral interview prep stuff. And they're deep in the process, but they might be 50 pounds overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take a tactical pause and be honest with them. And I do feel like it's necessary for me to say, you're spending all this time and putting in so much work. The reality is you're overweight and you need to work on fitness. That should be your paramount thing because you could do all this work, finally get your opportunity. You can go in the academy. And if you're out of shape and you're overweight, you'll fail the first week. And so I have been honest with that I think it's a man-to-man thing. I haven't dealt with that with women. But I have told women that I think you need to do starting strength. I think you should do CrossFit because you're innately maybe smaller, physically up top, right? And like, so I do know that that could hurt their feelings, but I do feel that it's important to know that what we know, that physical fitness is a requirement for the job. And if you don't have it at the start, it'll be so much harder. And so I do have that point where I say, this might hurt your feelings, but I'm going to be honest with you. You got to lose weight and you got to get fit. And Here's step by step what I believe you should do.
Yeah. And that's, I think, legit. And if you can take a pause when a difficult question is asked of you and determine, is it that type of question where you're actually helping the person out? While you might be hurting their feelings, you're actually helping them out in the long term. Or is it the type of question where you can hurt their feelings, but there's really no benefit for that person? You know, if you get asked, you know, we're talking about the pronoun question. If you get asked that, there's really no benefit to that person for you to express that you don't subscribe to that. And,
Right. You
know, ridiculous. Why would you? There's no benefit.
None.
So it's not really the best place to go hard. Now, like Kevin said, if someone's asking you genuinely and they really want a genuine answer, then you can have that conversation, but you still should have it in a tactful manner, but you know, you can have it, but it's not the place where brutal, direct honesty right off the bat is necessarily needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that because if they said, what's your pronouns to me? I'm just thinking out loud off the cuff. I say, well, I don't have them. My name's Kevin, right? But if I said, how come you don't have them? Why don't you do this? Whatever you think, I would say, well, I don't. And I could say, if you want to go there, I just don't believe in it. I think, you know, whatever.
Right.
But but it is something you might have to think about because let's say we have somebody, you know, that wants to sponsor the podcast or sponsor the thing. And they say, my pronouns are this. Well, then, okay, I would respect that. If you want to support our mission, I would respect that. And I would call you by whatever you prefer, if that makes you comfortable. And I don't feel I have to get into a debate with them. It's just like, if Noel, if you wanted to be called Nozias or something, all right, Nozias it is. You know what I mean? I've called you Nolsa for 12 years. But I don't know how to explain that, but I think if that's what makes you comfortable, cool. But if I don't need to have a debate with you right now.
This is something, I'm going to switch gears again. I kind of knew coming into this job, but nobody ever really like explained it to me. And I don't think I ever thought it through as deeply as I would have liked to. It would not have changed, to be fair, my pursuit of this career being a firefighter. But for you guys out there that are listening and working to get into the fire service, I think this is something that you should know and that you should think about. And if you have a spouse in your life or a loved one in your life that you're going to bring along on this journey, you need to have this conversation with them. So recently, I mentioned it on a previous episode, but I'm going to go a little bit more in depth. My son, Indy, is 8 and he has a bike. It had training wheels on it. We don't ride it a ton because we don't have a lot of good riding spots up here. And I'm at work. My family's up north in Kingsburg and my wife tells me out of the blue, Indy's riding without training wheels. And I'm like, really? Wow. Like who taught him? And she's like, he was out there riding with his cousin. His cousin, Easton, took his training wheels off and showed him how to ride. Now, I'm a proud dad. That's awesome. But I can vividly remember, well, vividly is not the right answer because I have a bad memory, but I do have a memory of learning to ride my bike without training wheels for the first time with my dad. I know exactly where it was. I know which car we had at the time because it was parked on the side of the road. Like I can remember that.
It's a pivotal moment. It's a rite of passage. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't get that with Indy because I was in work that day. Now, that could have happened anyway if I had a 9-to-5 job. But the point is, as a first responder, you are going to miss a lot of stuff. You're going to miss birthdays. You're going to miss anniversaries. You're going to miss holidays. You're going to miss your kid riding his bike without training wheels for the first time. There's a big sacrifice there that's made. And I think it's an honorable one and a reasonable one because of the schedule that we work. But my encouragement to you, if you're thinking about coming on to this line of work, is to know that going in and have, especially if you've got a fiance, a girlfriend, or a spouse, have that conversation with them so that they're aware of that coming in. And every time you're recalled on Christmas, it's not this, you know, big earth-shattering event. It will be hard. It will be difficult. I know from experience, but if you're on the same page and you knew that going in, it can help a lot. And so that's my encouragement to you. Have those conversations because you are going to miss stuff that you wouldn't miss in another job.
I think you're spot on. I'm going to ask you this though.
Ask me.
Because that all of that is true. And I think it hurts me as a father because I want to be present for these pivotal moments.
Yeah.
I want to be. And it hurts me way more than it hurts them to be gone at these things.
Yeah.
I wonder sometimes though, if that's by design. I know it's not perfect, but like there has been instances like that where they've done a cool, amazing kid accomplishments because I was not there. And like, maybe I would have hindered them, or maybe I wouldn't have taken them out to the bike ride, or maybe I wouldn't have said, you're not ready to take the things off yet. And they've had like these cool little moments with their cousins, not because dad's there and dad knows I'm a little bit more protective because I wasn't there. Because I do think we have, all we see is trauma and car accidents and danger. Like there were things that they were doing in the pool that I would never let them do if I was there because I've seen drownings.
Yes.
Right. And so then I see him backflipping off the wall into the pool and then nobody's watching, but she's like on 10. Let me show you what I learned when my cousins were here. And I'm like, my initial reaction is fear. Right. Yeah, and like, but I'm like, oh, I missed that. The first time she was brave enough to jump off the wall, but she did it with her cousins too. And maybe I had to not be there if for that little accomplishment to happen. I don't know.
Ah, that's really fascinating. This whole thing happened because Easton, the cousin, rides BMX. I've mentioned that recently. And Indy went up there. He was excited about that. He wanted to participate, but he rides with training wheels, so he can't ride on the BMX track. So Easton's like, well, let's get your training wheels off. And he happened to have his bike with him. And so that's why that happened. And you're 100% right. If it had been normal everyday life here around our house, we're not riding bikes. There's not a place to ride. So I wouldn't have done that week. It's not like I missed the day. It only happened because Easton's riding BMX and now Indy's riding BMX and he's, you know, he's doing great and tearing it up. So you're right. There is an aspect of that. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it kills me. There's been other instances like I was at work for 3 days. So Harmony took the girls to a friend's house that has some property and they have like ATVs and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And my youngest daughter is very timid and scared of those type of things. And so I've just kind of avoided them. But then I get a video on day two of her riding a four wheeler and like with a helmet on and just tearing it up. And it hurt so bad that I wasn't there to see her overcome her fear and get on that thing. But maybe I probably would have said, oh, you just ride with dad and we'll go super slow. Or maybe I probably would have changed. If I was there, I would have changed it.
That's for interesting. Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm becoming more open. It still kills me, but I'm becoming more open to that. Maybe they don't need the protector for some of these moments, you know, because I'll govern them because of what we see and what we do. But also, I want to be there for all these things.
Yeah. And I'm definitely not saying that you shouldn't go be a fireman or go into some sort of first responder job because you're going to miss stuff. Like, that's not a reason. There are literally hundreds of thousands of men and women who have done that and done it successfully with families and who have well-adjusted great kids out there. So it's not something where it's like, this is going to ruin your life. You're going to, you know, you're going to be miserable. But I just do want you to have those conversations beforehand because it's helpful. And it is something you're going to have to deal with if you come into this world, you're in it already.
Yeah, but you're 100% right that you not only have to have that conversation beforehand, you have to have that through the different seasons of life. Because we didn't have kids when I started. And yeah, that's great. She's like, no problem. Go do your thing. Work as much as you need to, right? Well, kids come into the mix and it's more of a problem, right? And so it's more of a problem for her and more of a problem for me. So I had to make decisions of like getting off a paramedic squad to go back to the truck because it was better for her. So I could be at home more, you know? So, but I think you have to constantly have those conversations as seasons change and more life. If you want to be a family man, you better talk to your wife consistently about the uniqueness of us being gone 50% of the month.
Yeah. I just recently had a conversation like that with my wife. You guys, if you listen to the recent episodes, you know, I moved stations and I'm now at a station on an engine in a battalion where there's a lot more likelihood that I will get sent out on a brush fire, which wasn't part of my my reality prior to moving here. So I had that conversation with my wife. Like, there is a chance that if a brush fire pops and I'm in the area, I might get deployed on that. I might be gone for multiple days in a row or longer. And having that conversation up front versus, hey, we're on our way to a brush fire, looks like it might be a while, and then come back home 2 weeks later, like, you know. So
that's a totally different
have those animal. Conversations.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we had a good on the truck for a long time. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't an issue, but yeah, it's a new season of life. Like you said, your kids are a little bit older. Maybe it's a little bit easier. I mean, you still have Indy who's young, but maybe it's a little easier. I see guys go into those positions later in life when their kids are a little bit older, cause it's not that big of a deal when they're gone for 2 weeks because the kids are busy and they're driving and they're doing all this stuff. So I don't know. I think it changed. I think our thing constantly changes. Our department is so large that it's probably so consistent that every time we go somewhere, it's a whole new animal. But yeah, that's interesting.
All right. Well, Kevin mentioned it at the beginning of the episode. We've got a class. It's in a week. We start on Friday. You're hearing this on Monday. If you're one of the guys that listen on the first day, we've got spots. We want you to come hang out with us. Get in touch with Kevin or I, and we will talk to you about how we can make that happen.
Dude, we'll make it happen. I just want you to go there. We are a nonprofit, and so if there's anything hindering you, just let us know. This thing has been the most powerful thing for me in my personal life, and I've seen guys have just profound changes at this thing. So I want you to experience that with us, and I want to get you to know. I think the other cooler thing, I just had breakfast and hung out with Trevor Graves, who came to the last class, and Todd Bradstreet was there, who was in a previous class. It was an amazing thing. Like, these are guys that both live in my city. They work for two different fire departments that I don't work for. And yet we have this amazing camaraderie and fellowship and friendship now that I never would have. And I know their wives and I know their kids. And it's only because they came to the program. And now I just making a big world seem a little bit smaller to me. And that, to me, that's the coolest thing is I have these amazing friends now that I wouldn't have ever probably met. And they live in the same city.
Yeah. Come out. Come be a part of that. We want to see you guys out there. Call us. We'll make it happen.
This has been the Fire You Carry podcast.
Thank you guys once again for listening. We want you to follow the links in the show notes and grab a MyZone heart rate monitor. We have a challenge that is coming up later on this month. Next week's episode, we will be going into detail on what that is. If you order your MyZone now, you will be able to get it and get on board with us in time to be a part of that challenge and track it with us using the MyZone heart rate monitor. So follow the links in the show notes for that. It comes at a great discount. It's $60 off its original price. So go check that out, and we will see you next week. You are quiet. And the weird thing is that my mic is really hot. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And I can't do anything about it. Oh, hello. Oh, that's not good. There we go.
No.
Check.
Now you're not coming through at all. No microphone.
What'd you do? Oh. Check.
Hello, there you go.
Check. All right. Well, it is what it is. We'll try.
Yeah, it'll work.
All right, let's go.